to say good evening to everyone. It's good to be here. Today, I have been speaking on the theme of salvation. This morning in Bible class, we taught how people respond to the gospel plan of salvation. And of course, the proper way is what the Pentecostals did in Acts chapter number 2 and verses 41 and 42, how when they had received the word of God, they gladly received it and they were baptized. Also, this morning, as I preached this morning, we preached on the subject of, Lord, are there few that be saved? Because Jesus said to strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many will seek to enter in, but will not be able. And this evening, we want to talk about the subject of grace, And that song that we just sung was perfect, telling about the old story about Jesus and his love. And that's what we're talking about this evening, about grace. And what are you doing with God's grace this evening? What are you doing with God's grace? Are you going to take advantage of that great love that God has for us? Or are you just going to discard it and throw away the most beautiful love story of all? And today for our lesson text, we're going to read Ephesians chapter number 2. That's Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 4 through 9. And our subject this evening is, what are you doing with God's grace? In Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning at verse number 4, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And from this reading of Scripture, as we talk about the subject of grace, we find that from God's Word, we recognize the word mercy. The word mercy means forbearance. It means compassion and kindness shown to God from not inflicting punishment upon us. Because you and I, as sinners, we deserve to die. We deserve to die. But through God's mercy, through his love, he took away that punishment for us. He took it away, as we just read in Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 4. But God, who is rich, in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us. He didn't want to see us die in our sins. But we know God as a perfect God, and his divine nature, he cannot look upon sin. Because the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 that our sins separate us from God. And therefore, he cannot look upon sin. And that's why he loved us so much. And he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins in our place. In John chapter number 8, in verses 1 through 11, we find that the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus, taken in the very act of adultery. And they asked Jesus, you know, what would he do in the light of the law of Moses? Because the law of Moses taught that someone that was caught in adultery, both the man and the woman, they just bought the woman, but both of them were to be stoned. Both of them were to be stoned. And Jesus, in his great wisdom, he asked a question that convicted them of their own sins. He that is among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. And that crowd just began to be convicted of their own sins, and they began to leave the place there. And the woman was left there uncondemned. And Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. This is a perfect example of mercy. Perfect example of mercy. What did this woman deserve because of the sin she had committed? What did she deserve according to God's law at that time?
To go to hell.
She deserved to be stoned according to the law. But God, but Jesus said he did not condemn her, but he showed mercy to her and said, go and sin no more. That's the same mercy that God has for us today. And through God's mercy, we learn that we too are saved. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. Beginning at verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't that wonderful? Also, in our lesson text today, we also learn of a term that's called grace. Many of us have probably heard of this term before, because it's quite common in our world today to hear about grace. And grace means that which causes joy, that which is pleasurable, delightful and charmful, and sweet and lovely. And this term has come to signify the kindness of God to man. We oftentimes call it God's unmerited favor to man. God's love for man, and that he loved us so much that he gave his best, his son, that we might live. And in our text today, in Ephesians chapter number 2, we find in verse number 6, excuse me, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved. That's a common statement that many people know about, that many people believe. By grace, by the love of God, by Him sending us His Son to die in our place, we are saved. Now, what's more uncommon is the second part of this verse. For by grace ye are saved through faith. Now, we always like to proclaim about the wonderful grace of God and how we're saved. But we sometimes forget to talk about it's through something. That wonderful gift, that salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Yes, God did His part. He provided a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. But we too have a part to play in salvation. And it is our faith. It is our obedience to the Almighty God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn our way into heaven. But God commands us to be obedient unto Him. The benefits of God's grace. There are wonderful benefits to God's precious grace. And the biggest one, of course, is salvation. The biggest one is being saved. And we all want to boast about God's grace. But how do we access the benefits of God's grace? If you want to enjoy the benefits of the grace of God, such as eternal life with God, love, joy, peace, you must access them through faith in God. In Romans chapter number 5, verses 1 and 2, Romans chapter number 5, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we are justified by faith. That term justified means that God has declared us to be righteous. It's just as if we had never sinned. So we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2 it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are saved, are we not, by the grace of God? But how do we access that benefit of being saved? We access it by having faith in God, by being obedient to Him. Because the Bible teaches us we are to be obedient to Him. It's just not good enough to say that I'm a Christian. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it's just not good enough to say that you're righteous or to say that you're a Christian. You have to work out things with God. You have to obey God's precious word. It's so very important And the question that you might ask yourself is your faith a dead faith, or is it an alive faith? A dead faith merely believes, but does not produce obedience to God. Is that the type of faith that you have? Mm-hmm. We hope and pray that it's not, because that's a dead faith. In James chapter number 2 and verses 14 through 17, the Bible describes faith without works is dead, being alone. In the book of James, chapter number 2, in James chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone." And if we drop also down to verse 24, the Bible says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So we have to have an active faith. We have to have an obedient faith in God, just like Abraham did. He believed in God. When God told him to do something, what did he do? He did it. God asked him to sacrifice his own son. Did he complain to God, blaspheme to God, say, "No, I'm not going to do it"? No, he didn't. He put his trust in what God said. And he had his heart in doing just that. And when we have faith as Abraham had, God will bless us. God will save us. You can only benefit from the grace of God when you decide to be faithful and obedient to Him. But the question is, do you want to be obedient to Him? This morning we talked about how being obedient to God sometimes is not easy. Oftentimes it is difficult, because the way to God is a narrow way. It's a way that frequently people don't want to follow, because people oftentimes want to do their own thing in their own way, which often is not in accordance to God's precious word. And what are you doing with God's grace on this evening? Are you going to reject the precious love that God has showed to each and every one of us? Or are you going to embrace God's love by obeying Him, by hearing the Word of God, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by repenting of your past sins, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And it doesn't stop there. We must continue to be faithful unto death, that we might receive that crown of life that Jesus talks about that does not fade away. And we hope and pray that each and every one of us will have peace in our hearts, will have joy in our hearts, and as we sung earlier, to tell the wonderful, wonderful old story about Jesus and his love. And if you're not a Christian on this evening, if we can assist you to become a Christian, please let us know. Or if you have prayer requests, if you would like to repent of your sins, please let us know and we would be more than happy to pray for you. And we are here for you. And we are so happy that we have had the opportunity on this evening to come and sing with you and pray with you and commune in the Lord's Supper and to share in the proclamation of God's Word.